Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the 16th chapter of Luke. Luke chapter 16, I'll begin reading in verse 19. This is a classic teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ as He draws back the veil beyond death. And we're able to see into two compartments, one that's called heaven or paradise, and the other which is called hell. There are many principles that can be derived from this reading lesson. It's been quite some time since I preached from this particular chapter of the Bible. I think last time I preached on it was at Mount Lebanon when Ben got saved. I'm thankful that I grew up in a church that preached the whole counsel of God. Told us everything that Jesus taught. Not just the good stuff, but also the bad stuff. Not just the sweet stuff, but also the things that are somewhat bitter. There are many wonderful observations that can be gathered from the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Many wonderful things. I was thinking about my aunt that passed away this past week. She was just a simple a cafe waitress all of her life. One clear teaching from these passages of Scripture is that your position, your financial status, it has nothing to do with the status of your soul. That's not being taught today in a lot of Christian circles. We have this whole new teaching of health, wealth, and prosperity that only the wealthy are saved. That's simply not true. That is not what Jesus taught. In this lesson, we see that the poor man went to heaven and the rich man went to hell. I'll begin reading in verse 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell, notice verse 23, in hell, these are the words of Jesus Christ, he died and suddenly in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torments and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in these flames. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have the preachers. They have the preachers. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Let me pause here and say, there's been one come from the dead. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, He lives. And he said unto him, if they hear not the preacher, they don't hear the Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this privilege of reading your holy word and all that's contained in it, the things that it reveals to us. God, I pray that you would, by your Spirit, search each heart and cause us to be conscious of the reality of the afterlife and the things that Jesus taught us concerning it. Lord, if there's someone here that has never been saved by the grace of God, may they realize that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. For I pray these things in the glorious name of Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen. These passages teach us many wonderful truths about the certainty of hell. I'm certain beyond any shadow of doubt that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. I read these passages of Scripture about the poor man who had the hound dogs come and lick his sores, and I read about the rich man who had all the wonderful pleasantries of life. And I see these two contrasted, with one going to a place of paradise and comfort and consolation, and the other one in a place of torment and in fire. And I wonder today if there's somebody here that has never been saved by the grace of God. And if you should die at this very moment, would you be like the rich man and in hell lift up your eyes, being also in torment? The rich man, he prayed, and he prayed the right kind of prayer, but he prayed his prayer way too late. There are those that are among us today that deny the existence of hell. I'm thankful, as I said earlier, that I grew up in a church that told me that there was a place of torment if I did not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we remove the teaching, oh, it's more than a teaching, it is a doctrine. If we remove the doctrine of hell from our church and from our teaching and from our preaching, we have ripped out the very nerve of our evangelism. We need to warn people about this place just like Jesus warned people about this place of torment. It's a real place. I'm certain of this place. Now, I know you can go to church and people will begin to, some churches, some so-called churches, even preachers, evangelical preachers have begun to denounce that they believe in a place called hell. You can hear the most popular among us, some of the most elaborate evangelists and preachers that are not even sure that the place exists. Those folks are not reading the same Bible that I'm reading. Jesus told us that there is a place called hell, and I am certain of it, just as certain of it as Jesus Christ taught it when he was here in the flesh. I believe that heaven bent beneath the burden of sin to save us and deliver us not only from our sins, but the consequences and judgment of sin, which is a place called hell. Hell's a real place. The Bible says in verse 23, he died, he was buried, he was eulogized. No doubt he had done many benevolent things in his life. He was probably a very popular man because of his riches. But the Bible says that he died, he was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Many of the doctrinal teachings of Jesus Christ are under attack. Many of the simple teachings of Scripture today are under attack. For the first time in Christianity, there are folks that are being raised up in a Christian church and go to church all of their life and never hear a sermon on hell. And that amazes me. Doesn't it amaze you? I can't imagine going through a revival meeting or going to church for year after year after year and never be told that there's a place called hell. But it's happening. This generation is not hearing the precious, wonderful doctrinal truths of Jesus Christ. And it's time the church get back to the basics. Warn people and tell people that they need to flee the wrath to come. I heard a minister one time, you know, he said, if you don't love the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll go to that place that's not polite to talk about. Not polite to talk about? Are you kidding me? If a house next door was on fire, I wouldn't say you need to leave that place because of some kind of combustion going on over yonder. No, I would tell folks, fire! You need to escape right now. You're in danger. There's a fire in that house. And it's time we get back to the simple teachings and sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Let me say this morning that I want to just preach a very simple sermon. And I want to address three main issues. The first one is the certainty of hell. Jesus also, and in the Bible, it tells us some of the characteristics of hell. So I want to tell you about some of the characteristics of hell revealed in our reading lesson. And thirdly, I want to talk about the citizens. Those who go to that place. Those who occupy and who are citizens of the place called hell. Now, first of all, when we talk about the certainty, there's one thing that comes to mind. I mean, it makes sense. The sensibleness of hell. We don't have the most wicked and the most unruly among us today. We have them incarcerated. We put folks that commit hideous crimes in jail, right? I mean, even our society, we know it makes sense. People that go around murdering and raping and killing and robbing, we remove them, that we separate them from the rest of us that try to live somewhat moral and sensible lives. And so it only makes sense that the same thing will occur in the afterlife. Now, the Bible talks about the afterlife. There are two main terms that are translated hell. If you study the King James, you're acquainted with the word Hades and Sheol. One's a Hebrew word, the other's a Greek word. It's a word that talks about the afterlife. There's a place where people go after they die. And it is described as a place where disembodied spirits, in other words, when your spirit leaves your body, it goes to some place. And it's a place called Hades or Sheol because it's a place that we can't visit nor can we see. But we know that the soul goes somewhere after it dies. And that place, sometimes translated hell, but actually the Greek and Hebrew words are Sheol and Hades. Jesus kind of cleared things up for us. He told us in this reading lesson from the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Luke that there are two areas or two compartments that exist in the place called Hades or Sheol. Two places. One is a place of paradise where Lazarus went. A place of happiness and comfort. He said that Lazarus was in a place of comfort in verse 25. A place of peace is the place that we call as Christians heaven. I love preaching about heaven. Many times when I preached on heaven, Sister Evelyn and Sister Ruby would say they prayed it down on me. I think there are times that they pray down messages like this, that the saints of God pray down messages like this to warn people to flee the wrath which is to come. And thus the preacher is called upon by the power of the Holy Spirit to stand up in this pulpit and tell folks of the certainty of a place called hell. So there's the paradise. There's also the other place. The place that is being described and explained here. The Greek word that's used is not a Hades. It is Gehenna. Gehenna is a place that was designated as a place of burning. It was a garbage dump just on the south side of Jerusalem. The son of Hezekiah, Manasseh, he caused folks to go through the fire. There was an idol god there, and children were murdered. They were burned there at the idol Molech. And when Josiah caused a great revival to come about in Jerusalem, he cursed that place. And he called that place an anathema, which means accursed. And it became a designated garbage dump. The dead bodies of animals, or the dead carcasses of animals, and sometimes even dead bodies perhaps were even in that place. And it became a maggot-infested place. And they kept a perpetual fire burning there to destroy the maggots. I heard a sermon one time entitled "The Maggots," that Jesus spoke of, where he said, "The worm dieth not, the fire is unquenched." And if you think I'm preaching a tough sermon or one that unnerves you, you should have heard some of the sermons preached by our forefathers. That'd shake you to the bone. The Bible clearly tells us and teaches us of a place called hell. Now, we live in what I call cotton candy Christianity. People want to hear about health, wealth, and prosperity when they go to church. They want things that appeal to the flesh and make them feel good. But folks, the gospel is something that gets deep inside of your soul. And it convicts you, and it troubles you, and it pierces you to the divine sunder of soul and spirit. It cuts to the very joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The world, they want to block this thing from their mind. Our society wants to block it from their mind. They hope it's not true. They hope it doesn't exist. But the rebellion that's going on in our world, those people that are opposing Christianity and opposing the faith and opposing Christ and opposing God, there's a place designated for them, and the place is called hell. You go ahead, you try to block it from your mind this morning. I'm telling you, the Word of God teaches, the Holy Scriptures teach us, that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Jesus plainly, not only does it make sense for this place to exist in the afterlife, but Jesus Christ plainly declared, "In hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments." In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, I quoted this last week. I believe we need to quote it more often. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish." Perish where? Perish where? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible says, "God so loved the world," John 3:16. "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish." Perish where? Perish where? Perish in hell. Perish in hell. God has gone to the very limits of himself to save you and rescue you from your sins and the consequences of sins, which is a lake of fire. Are you telling me that Jesus Christ came to this world of sin and sorrow, was born in poverty in that barn in Bethlehem, lived some 33 years, was whipped and beaten and spat upon and mocked and nailed to a cross to rescue you from nothing? Are you kidding me? Jesus died on the cross of Calvary to save you from hell. Sure he did. He went through that agony and that pain and that suffering. He became a sacrificial atonement for our sins to save us from the consequences and the judgment of our sins, which is an eternal flame of hell. In Isaiah 33:15, It tells us Isaiah was talking about people that might escape or get away with some of the crimes and some of the meanness that they commit in life. But Isaiah revealed they will not escape the eternal flame. Won't escape. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary to save us. And He declared that there's a place called hell. He clarified His statement many times about this awful place. Let me give you a few cross references. Let's start with Matthew. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 25 and 46. Matthew 25 and 46. I said that this is sensible and that the Scriptures declare it. And the Savior declared that there's a place of punishment. Jesus said, "And these shall go into everlasting punishment, and the righteous into life eternal." Folks, if you live your life without Christ, the moment you die, you'll lift up your eyes being in torment. Where death finds you, eternity awaits you. That's why there's an urgency in the gospel. An urgency. Not only did Jesus say that hell existed and that it is a certain place, but He told us some of the characteristics of it. He told us what hell is like. We noticed there in our reading lesson. Verse 24, He cried out to Father Abraham, "Father Abraham, would you have Lazarus dip his fingertip in water and cool my tongue? For I am tormented in this flame." Verse 24. Gospel according to Luke, chapter 16. He told us that it is a place of torment. It's a real place. And it's a place of suffering. Listen, hell is a place of suffering. This is not a fable. It's not some theory of speculation. It's not something that we debate. It's a real place. It's a place of suffering. It's a place of physical suffering. Notice in this reading lesson, finger, tongue, water, flame, tormented. Notice what it says. Listen, folks, don't go through this life without Christ. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 36, "For what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Don't go through this life and not knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, because with every tick of the clock, you come closer and closer to eternity. And there's an urgency in the gospel that you get saved, and you get saved now before it's everlasting and eternally too late. It's time you realize that where the end finds you, eternity awaits you. It's time you realize that the Bible describes this place as a place of punishment, a place of torment, a place of everlasting pain, a place of everlasting death. It's a real place where real suffering goes on. It's so real, Jesus told us to avoid it at all costs. He actually said, look in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 29. It's such a real place with such profound suffering. He told us in Matthew 5 and 29 how to avoid it, even at the expense of mutilation, even at the expense of death. He said in verse 29, He said, "If thy right eye offend thee, it's better for you to pluck out your eye and go through your life blind than to spend eternity in hell." He said, "If your right hand offend you, cut it off. It's better to go through life maimed. It's better to go through life without that member, that member perish, than your whole body being cast into hell." Well, I don't have time to go through all the cross references. Jesus preached more on hell than He did heaven. He said it's a place of outer darkness. He said in hell people are weeping and wailing. He said there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. That means you're in so much pain that you gnash on your own flesh to try to get the pain to stop. He said that the fire is unquenched. He said it's everlasting punishment and everlasting damnation. So it's a real place, and there's real suffering. Painful,
physical suffering in hell.
Secondly, it's not only a place of suffering, but it's a place of sorrow. Look in our reading lesson. He says to the rich man, remember. Remember. Remember in your lifetime. There's a lot of folks that have painful memories of the past. Some of them have past sins that they would really like to forget. But in hell, they will not forget. I've thought about people that attempt to take drugs and alcohol and they try to alleviate the memories. You know, there are folks that are driven to the grave in suicide because of their psychological torments. Psychological torments. And you know, it's so despairing to think of somebody be driven to that point, hoping to get relief by the bullet and die, hoping to get psychological relief to wake up with greater intensity and greater psychological torment. God have mercy. In hell, your thoughts of righteousness, your thoughts of God, you'll be more spiritual. Sinners will be more spiritual as far as their perception in hell than they are here on earth. Every time God has extended His love toward you, you'll know about it. You'll remember it throughout the eons of eternity. Place of real suffering and real sorrow. Most of the time we have sorrow when we think about our loved ones passing and we think about missing them. There's great sorrow in there. These widows among us that recently lost their husbands, they'll tell you just the thoughts and the memories many times will bring great sorrow. But praise God, there's a place to escape the sorrows of life. There's a place where there'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more suffering and there'll be no more pain, for the former things will have been passed away. Jesus went to prepare a glorious place for us. In hell, there is no escape of the agonizing memories of the past. The guilt, the sin-ridden guilt that people go through. I can't imagine. I can't imagine what they suffer in hell. The closest thing I've ever experienced in relationship to it is when I was convicted of my sins. Amen? I mean, we felt and experienced that condemnation and that guilt. But these folks will be there endlessly with intensified memories forever. Son, remember, remember. There's a lot of things I even would like to forget, and I think, praise God, one of these days I will. Thirdly, not only a real place declared by Jesus Christ, declared in Scriptures, a certain place of suffering and sorrow, but it's a place of separation. You can't read about the rich man and Lazarus without noticing the separation. He tells him in verse 26, notice there is a great gulf fixed. You can't come here and we can't go there. That's what he said. Separation. Real separation. In the book of Revelation, it tells us this lake of fire is also described as an abyss, a bottomless pit, where people are dropping deeper and deeper in moral and spiritual degradation. They go farther and farther and farther and farther away from the goodness of God and the goodness that's ever been experienced in the world. Just falling further and further and further and further away from anything that's good in this life. I hope I never meet any of these folks that are committing all of these terrible atrocities overseas. I hope I never meet any of these ISIS leaders. Listen, you go to hell, you'll be right in the middle of them. Amen? If you go to hell, you'll be among the most
despicable with Hitler and Herod and all the wretched, evil people of the world. It's a place of abomination, the Bible says. Place of great abomination. How do you escape? There's only one way to escape, and that's the blood of Jesus. Amen. You've got to be washed in the blood. You have to have your sins under the blood. You have to repent of your sins. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to hear the message. That's only one way to be saved, and that's to come to Calvary. Come to Calvary. Trust in Jesus with all of your heart. Come. Come to Him who died on the cross of Calvary for you. Now, let me close. Let me point out the citizens of that place. Let me close. We've talked about the certainty. I've talked about some of the characteristics that are revealed. There's other things that are revealed in Scripture. Let me talk about who goes there. Who goes there? First of all, the unregenerate religious go there. Turn in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. He said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. He went on and said, there'll be many on that day. Many on that day. Everybody say many. Many on that day. Say, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works. Done many wonderful works in the name of Jesus. And Jesus will say unto them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. The unregenerate religious will be in that place. They're trusting in some religious system to get them there. Folks, you got to trust in the Savior to get you to heaven. You can't trust in rituals. You can't trust in some system of men. You've got to trust in the only begotten Son of God to get you to heaven. Who else will be there? Look in Revelation 21 and 8. Bible says the fearful, Revelation 21 and 8, the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable. He said the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars will have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Who else will be there? Well, there's a long list here. The abominable, those that have defiled their spirit with the world. The murderers will be there. The whoremongers, those who have committed sexual impurities like adultery, fornication, and homosexuality. All those who reject the way of God's moral and sexuality for their life will be there. Come on, folks, I'm preaching. Okay? Who else? He says the sorcerers, those are the witchcraft, the soothsayers. Those that worship the creation more than the Creator, they'll be there. The Greek word is pharmakeia, which we get our word pharmacy. It also includes those who synthetically rob their lives of the godly experience that God wants to bring to their life. All right, let's go back to the first couple of ones on the list. The fearful and the unbelieving. You see that in verse 8? The fearful and the unbelieving. They will be there. The fearful and the unbelieving. I skipped the one all liars, but hopefully you know that liars will go there too. Fearful and the unbelieving. The fearful are those who are afraid for whatever reason to make that commitment to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those who won't step out of the aisle. Those who won't surrender. Those who hold on to their own righteousness or hold on to their own man-made system and won't submit to the divinely appointed way of salvation, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. The fearful who have reservations and procrastinations about coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, fearing perhaps some kind of reprisal, fearing that somebody will say something about them, fear they'll lose friends or lose some kind of fame or position on Facebook. The fearful will be there. And the unbelieving, my friend, listen, don't be one who dies lost and undone. Don't be one who's not trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, because all unbelievers will go there. They'll go there. They'll go there. Well, I'm going to close. Hell is a real place. There's many other things that could be said this morning. It's a place of separation, place of suffering, a place of sorrow. This reading lesson gives us many divine spiritual revelations concerning the awful place, hell. Hell. Hell is a real place. It's just not a place we call hell. Hell is a real place. The unbelieving will go there. If you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart, you will split hell wide open. If you don't repent of your sins and put faith in Jesus Christ and trust in Him to be your Savior, to embrace Him and receive Him and have Him as Lord of your life, you'll split hell wide open. You reject Jesus Christ because the unregenerate rebellious folks will be there too. Not only the unregenerate religious folks, but the unregenerate rebellious folks will be there as well. And if you fall in that category or classification today, get a song, Aaron. It's time to come to Jesus. It's time to come to the cross. As an old poet put it long ago, come ye sinners, seek His grace, whose wrath you cannot bear. Seek the shelter of the cross and find salvation there. Yes, yes, I'm thankful I've been saved from the wrath of God. If you don't know about the peace that assures you that you are, have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then come to the cross of Calvary. Put your faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ as the congregation stands and sings. I appreciate you listening to me this morning. I'm glad I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven. I'm going to that place that's prepared for the redeemed. I'm going to see Abraham and Isaac. There's folks there that I look forward to seeing. And Jacob. Oh yeah. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Matthew and Andrew. And get to walk around with Mark and Paul and Timothy and Titus. All those great patriarchs of old. I'll sit down with Daniel and David and Solomon. Praise God, I'm going to that place. But there's a place that if you don't trust the Lord Jesus Christ, that you will go. And there are people there. There are citizens of that place. And they're the offspring. Scourge of creation that abide in that abominable place. Don't go there. Come, go with us. We'll do you good. You'll experience the glories of heaven if you put Jesus Christ on the pedestal of your heart. Let Him be crowned as Lord and Savior. Put Him on the throne of your heart today. Know Him and believe in Him and experience His grace. Let us sing.